Games have been awarded.
They did it. They awarded them all. They all got awards. Some of them didn't. Everyone's favorite thing about the show is not the awards. Everything's as it should be.
The galaxy is at peace.
The last Metroid is in my butthole. Surprise! Twist ending. Get him out of there. Da, 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 da. Metroid Prime 4 twist.
Yeah, how's that pre-write working for you?
Remember Bowser's inside story?
And we come full circle.
I almost made an inappropriate joke about Doug Bowser.
No.
All right. Hello, welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for what, December 13th. Hey, it's Friday the 13th in December. Ooh. It's so weird. Ooh, I bet that nothing is different.
Good time to watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, the best time to write. I feel like the best time to watch Nightmare Before Christmas is like November 1st.
Well, no, I agree, but Friday the 13th, I'll make an exception.
No. Anyway, so welcome to the show. This is Mike Minaj, I'm with my brother Ajga.
Hello.
Just finished watching and covering for some of us. Some of us had to work.
I was drinking beer and eating Doritos.
Yeah. So the Game Awards happened. We'll talk about the highlights from that.
You should probably pull up the list of winners.
No. If you don't remember, who cares?
Good point.
Right? Do you really need me to tell you who won best like audio design? And I think it was Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. So like, yeah. Don't, you know, just don't worry about it. And I've been playing a lot of games too to talk about anyway, so it's a busy week. But let's, like, what was your favorite thing that happened in the Game Awards? What was the most notable thing? I guess we should start with Xbox.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, we'll get to Fast and the Furious, the game, or whatever later.
But Crossroads, Edge Guy.
Oh, excuse me.
It's gonna be even better than that Fast and the Furious game on the arcade in the mall.
Oh, yeah. But not the mode in Forza Horizon 2.
Mm.
So Phil came out and he revealed the Xbox Series X.
I thought it was Project X for a second.
No,
yes.
Series X. It's a confusing name.
It almost kind of looks like a PC tower, but not quite as like depthy.
Yeah, and they did confirm it can be vertical or horizontal.
Okay, it's big.
Yes, it's a large box. That's fine. You know, they probably want to make sure it's not going to overheat.
Well, they even said like because the top of it has like that circle grate thing that's really popular now.
Like the Mac Pro has
yeah,
it,
and yeah. That's like where all the heat's coming out of, and it's like a green glow in there. But yeah. Very minimalistic. There's just like
I like it. I think it looks pretty cool.
I think it's neat. I like the design of it, and we'll get to this. I feel like. I wish they did something to differentiate aesthetically from, like, the Xbox One. Color-wise.
It does look, and even the name suggests, it is more an evolution of the current, like, Xbox One X and not necessarily its own thing. Which I feel like they're almost okay with because they really stress, again, if you, like, Phil put up a blog post on the Xbox.com. They really stressed the compatibility of the system, which not only backwards, but they hinted at like forwards compatibility, talking about how when you get Halo Infinite, doesn't matter what machine you play it on, past gen, current gen, your saves will transfer, your achievements transfer. Like it's not quite the like minimalist jump that the One X was, but I think they're almost treating it that way.
Well, I mean, this is obviously them trying to make the Xbox more of a like an iPhone thing, mm-hmm. right? Like
for sure.
And I mean, you know, part of me thinks like, you know, I guess there's some logical sense of that. Another part of me thinks like if you want your new console launch to go really well, you want people to really think that it's a new console and to be able to understand it in a way that is inherent with something like PlayStation 5 that maybe isn't with Xbox Series X. It's not going to be as bad as Wii U because, you know, the Wii U was also just not a very good machine.
Right.
But part of its problem was the kind of design of the system and like, the marketing of it and the naming of it. And there's a bit of that here, too. Like what? Like, you don't know what this means. Like, if I told you you didn't see anything, Microsoft's releasing a product called the Xbox Series X, you would have no idea what that is. Right. You would not assume that that is what Project Scarlet was going to be turning into.
Especially like he had like that tweet the other day, like, you know, the name reflects what the machine does.
And then it doesn't.
It's Series X's things. Like, I don't know what that means.
Right. So that was a lie.
I don't get that. But
it's I don't like the name. It's a weird name.
It's not a great name.
It's not a good name. I think it's one of those weird, super like overthought things.
I think the way you sell it is, you have that thing where it's like, here's Halo Infinite running on an Xbox One X, and now here it is running on a Series X with ray tracing and 4K 60 locked and blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, again, but that's just, you know, again, like, yeah, it's the new system. And there's just so many weird things that, again, make it look more like an Xbox One to One X as opposed to, like, Xbox One X to, like, the Xbox 2 or what have you.
Right.
Like, the controller is basically the same thing.
Well, I joked that one of the changes on the controller is a dedicated share button. I was like, great, my Elite 2 is already lacking features.
Right. But, I mean, so, you know, like, I understand there's an argument, like, well, that's a great controller. Why change it? Mm-hmm. Maybe you just change it for the sake of changing it.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think that's a good reason to change it.
I'm not saying you have to change, like, the button layouts, like, the color, something.
Well, it is.
To differentiate, to make it.
It is a new D-pad. It's the same D-pad that's on the Elite 2.
Yeah, the D-pad's different than the share button. But it's just something to make it a bit more aesthetically different,
and
man.
We haven't seen the PS5 controller yet. We've just seen some patent drawings, and frankly,
I think it's going to be pretty similar. No, I agree. Yeah. I think that's basically going to look like a DualShock 4, and I think it's just... I understand that
was a thing when new consoles were announced. Part and parcel of the announcement was, what's the controller look like?
It's like,
I just think we don't need that anymore. Controllers become kind of standardized.
I guess, and I think that's kind of boring.
It is, but
I understand it. But again, like, you want, like, you're trying to get people excited, right? Saying our new controller is the same as last time, basically, that's not exciting.
It is what it is. I mean, again, I don't think change for the sake of change is a good move either.
I think it might be a little bit.
I disagree.
I think it might be a little bit.
I disagree with that point.
No, I mean, people basically said the Xbox 360. I mean, look, the Xbox One controller is basically a 360 controller, but changed just a little bit in some places. And again, even just the white to black thing, the home button being like not as bulbous, being flatter. I'm not saying you need to make it like an Nintendo 64 controller all of a sudden.
And eventually there will be different colors of this console,
but that's not the point. Base color means something. And that's just what I mean, like, aesthetically, right? Like, the Xbox One had a very specific aesthetic. Not just like the console itself, but like kind of everything. 360, same thing. Xbox One had its own thing. And this just feels like that Xbox One aesthetic again.
Move forward.
And I think that's what iPhone basically is. Yeah. Like, there's not like the iPhone 10 and iPhone 11 aren't like
drastically different.
Right. And that's what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that works. But another part of me is like, is this Microsoft trying to get ahead of the curve, like with Xbox One, when they were like, oh, we're a media machine now and you're not going to, you know, you don't even need discs and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, sometimes you can be too ahead of the curve on those things and people weren't ready for that.
Mm-hmm. The danger is you get the boomerang controller.
Right,
and you just end up changing it back to the same thing anyway.
But even then, when it quote unquote changed back, it was different.
It was a DualShock 2 with wireless and no rumble and a motion sensor. It looked exactly like a DualShock 2.
So it's weird. But I guess the other thing is, I mean, it's not like Xbox is coming into this as like the absolute number one market leader in the world, right?
No, but I think they have good momentum going into next generation.
They have okay momentum.
I think everyone loves Game Pass.
Game Pass is great.
And most of us have Game Pass subscriptions that will last into this console launch. I have Game Pass through October of 2021 right now. Mm-hmm. So like, kind of wild. Like, I'll get this system, just have games to play on it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, people like the direction Phil's been taking things. They have all these studios who are developing games.
Well, at least
it.
Like, they finally got one of them to announce like a AAA looking game with Senua 2.
Yeah, and boy, 2. I'll tell you what, it's like every time you're always like, how much better could the next console look? This looked pretty good.
Because Grounded ain't doing it for me. That Obsidian thing that they announced.
Which one's? Oh yeah. The survival thing. I forgot about it.
The one that looks like.
Home Alone, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, but like kind of cheap, which is weird because like Outer World looks like pretty good.
It looks like a side thing they made pretty quick.
Right. So
we did see early footage of a PS5 title. God.
I don't know.
Something Godfall.
Godfall. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also coming to PC. They showed in the Epic Games Store
montage. This is Gearbox with somebody else, so.
Well, it's Gearbox publishing it.
Right. So it's not like the Borderlands team, but it's a looter shooter. Mm. Kind of a weird thing to like.
Or with swords.
Yeah. Wow. Kind of a weird thing to like. To be like, this is the first PlayStation 5 game. It's not that interesting.
It's not a Sony first party. Like, we let someone else have the first game to say PlayStation 5 on it.
Yeah, right. Isn't that weird?
It is. Yeah, Sony, like, honestly, like, Sony themselves didn't have much of a presence at this show.
I'm beginning to already think, and maybe I'm just completely wrong, that the PlayStation 5 launch lineup might be weak.
Well, sure. Like,
what is it going to be?
They're just now finally releasing all their PlayStation 4 games this year.
Like,
we saw Ghost of Tsushima. I should correct myself when I talk about Sony.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're big studios, right? Like, Sucker Punch is clearly making Ghost of Tsushima, which is coming up before. Mm-hmm. Naughty Dog is... been working entirely. No, I'm sure there's another studio doing something, but not something that's going to come out this fall.
Yeah.
Aside from
Last of Us. There's not going to be God of War 2 for the PlayStation 5 launch. Right, not God of War.
Like, the only thing I could possibly imagine, and again, it's hard to imagine, is if there's like.
Insomniac might have something.
No, the one I was. Maybe, but the one I was thinking. No, because Spider Man really just happened. The one I was thinking is Guerrilla Games, if they're like
Horizon 2. Yeah.
But like, I expect that to be announced this year. Do I expect that to come out?
Yeah, I don't know.
For a launch? And they need something. Like, even like, they need something to at least be in that, and that wasn't even launch game, but launch window in that infamous Second Son space.
Yeah.
Or you know, even launch last time they had, speaking of Guerrilla Games, they had a Killzone game. They had to have one of those.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? I don't know. Yeah. It. So that's the weird thing is that Microsoft's gonna have Halo.
Yeah, pretty good launch. Turns out.
And I'm like, I'm trying to think like, what the heck is Sony gonna have? Like, I think, I think what they'll have is they'll have maybe the. Be more, not I want to say better, like, brand at this point, but they're gonna have the more logical brand.
Well, they're gonna have the promise.
I mean, they're gonna have. It's so much easier for them to be here's PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and be like, you know, and everything that comes with Xbox One has to be like, here's why you want an Xbox Series X.
And we still both, I think we both expect these systems to be very, very similar to each other.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Microsoft tried to talk a little bit about some of the things that are proprietary to this box. It's a little
this
bit
of, Xbox.
Yes, it's a little bit of technical gobbledygook. Basically, they have like some way of reducing latency in games and some kind of shader pipeline that's unique to them.
You see, GameSpot like had an exclusive that went out as soon as they announced it, where they talked with Phil Spencer.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they went a bit more in depth into something. So, but yeah, I don't know. Basically, I don't like the name. I think I like the design of it. I think it's going to be fine.
Oh yeah, it's
gonna
be great.
I did a tweet to gain some traction. How like you know, there's a bit of a Wii U syndrome here, and I even try to say they're like. Obviously not as much.
Right.
I think it's confusing to people. Like, you know, again, if you just go up to somebody and say, Xbox Series X, what does that mean? Whereas, like, you know, if you went up to somebody said, Xbox 360, they knew, like, oh, is that the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you kind of get it.
Yeah, the name doesn't scream next gen.
It's a weird name. Series X. It's like, what is the... What do you mean series? Like, this... And what is the X? How many X's are we putting in there?
Mm-hmm.
Then the weird way that it, like, you can kind of call it Xbox Sex for short. And that's already, yeah, Expo and Xbox Sex.
The XX.
It's weird, but Microsoft hasn't been great at naming things for...
That's true.
I won. And anyway, we're already seeing with PC, like, they want Xbox just to kind of be everything.
Yeah,
like,
it's just their gaming brand.
It's Xbox on PC, it's Xbox here, you know, whatever Xbox is. And, guess we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, the most exciting thing for me, this was really Nintendo's only real big thing.
Yeah.
Was the Bravely Default 2.
And really, that was Square Enix, but...
Well, they're publishing it, actually, it turns out. So, which
okay,
I think
cool.
they did for Octopath, right? Also...
No, because that came on PC.
I think they did it for one of the... They did it for... Well, they might have done it for the Switch version, but they did it for one of the other
Bravely
games, I think. So
not the Bravely, yeah, we're talking about Bravely Default 2.
We didn't say right. Which is confusing because it's the third one. Although, Bravely Second, which is what the second one was called, was like a direct sequel. And this one, the four characters they showed, didn't seem like any of the same characters.
So this is like, Bravely Second is like Final Fantasy X-2, and this is like Final Fantasy 12.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's going to be more connected than that because there were some loose ends in Bravely Second still, and I bet it's all going to come together. It's also a series that ultimately has like a lot of alternate timeline that kind of thing.
I see.
Things can, you know, tie, you know. But yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a bit more separate than that. But this is really cool that like I mean I loved those games on 3DS. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy that we're going to get one on the Switch. And the most exciting thing, they even made a big point, like, Revo is the composer. So Revo composed Bravely Default.
Phenomenal music.
One of the best soundtracks ever. And did not for 2, and 2 soundtrack is just, it's fine. It's okay. So the fact that he's coming back for this, is like, that's like a giant.
They knew to market that.
Yeah, they knew. It was like basically one, it's basically the only real big complaint I had with Bravely Second was like, the music went from being the greatest thing ever to being fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, this is already something I'm incredibly excited for, especially, you know, JRPG fan, Bravely Default fan, Nintendo fan. So that's pretty good. So what did you think about the Elder Scrolls Online thing I wanted to ask real quick?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious to see what that is. So they tease some kind of Skyrim expansion, right, that's going to get a fuller reveal next month.
Well, I don't even know if it's expansion necessarily.
I mean, it probably is. They're pretty good about a yearly expansion cycle. Right.
Because Elsewhere was in January last year. This was going to get revealed in January.
It came out in June.
June?
Elsewhere, yeah. May or June.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, they always come out around that. They reveal it in the beginning of the year, and it comes out that May or June.
I might need to correct the story then.
Uh-oh.
I thought when I looked it up, it said January. Anyway.
I don't think so.
Maybe it was revealed in January.
Yeah, because the year of the dragons or whatever they called it started in January.
Right. So anyway, so but some of Skyrim's already been available, right?
Yes, you can go to the Rift and another part. And,
yeah, another
I'm part. I'm forgetting which part it was. But yes, but not all of it, but a lot of it. But yeah, I was telling Chris, like, I feel like that game's like kind of doing its thing and people kind of forget about it, but it's really good. Actually, I think I talked about Elsewhere on the show, but like the way they did like public events where everyone just fought dragons was super cool. It's a good game. But yeah, overall, it didn't feel like there were any big, like, holy shit bombshells.
I mean, besides from Microsoft.
Yeah. I mean, even that's like, we knew that was coming. It's just fine to see, get like some details, see a picture.
No,
of it.
There were some things that I was even expecting that didn't happen. Like, I thought we were going to get the fifth character for Smash Brothers for sure.
Yeah, because there was like private videos added to the playlist on the official account on YouTube. And
there must be a Nintendo Direct soon.
Yeah, something, because I'm sure that subreddit is really pissed off right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's nothing else that really had me like, holy, oh my god.
What, not Fast and Furious didn't do it for you?
No.
It is the Project Cars guys.
Is it?
So here's the thing.
But it looks like ass.
So here's the thing, I think, where people are getting hung up on this to defend it a little bit. The humans look like ass.
They look terrible.
The cars look good, and that's the game.
Yeah,
the
cars are easy to make look good.
But, I mean, that's what the game's going to be.
Yes.
Like, you're going to have some humans in some unimportant cutscenes.
I don't want to play Project Cars that's interrupted by a bunch of unimportant cutscenes.
Okay, well, that's
with an overly jacked Vin Diesel.
No such thing, first off.
He was huge in the game.
First off. I get it, but I don't know. If they do something where that game plays like the stunt driver games or even split second a little bit, I think that could be cool.
It could be.
Just like some kind
of... It's not the kind of thing I would have chose to like end the game. I guess they did it because they wanted Vin Diesel.
Right, now you got Vin Diesel there.
And Michelle Rodriguez to...
Again, like, so many of these people are probably, you know, they have a lot of... They have games that they need to announce for the next generation. Everybody, not just Sony and Microsoft, but all these publishers and everything. And we kind of already know about like all the first half games, even a little bit later for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little weird. I mean, there's like some things that like weren't really exciting. Like we knew we saw them, like looked really good. Like the Final Fantasy VII trailer, that was like the best trailer for that game yet.
It was in the pre-show,
and it looked so good. The music alone just got me so like, oh,
I
this game
too.
Like
the battle theme is
that's like my most anticipated game for next year. Which just because like first I was like, this is anything we actually need. Here's my think piece on why the original is fine. And I'm like, oh no, this looks sweet. Yeah.
Well, and don't forget, there's that rumor that supposedly Half-Life Alyx was supposed to be shown at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
But it leaked, so they just had to move and announce it.
That would have been a big one, huh?
That would have been, like, the holy shit bombshell. So it's a bummer that didn't work out. Because, like...
That makes sense.
They did that montage at the beginning, and it kind of ended with a shot of the G-Man. And I was thinking, like, Chris and I were talking, like, imagine, like, we didn't know Half-Life Alyx's thing, and, like, he was in that. You're like, wait a minute. Why was the G-Man there? And then, like, later on, like, they show that trailer, and that would have been big.
It was a weird opening montage, because it had a lot... It had, like, Diablo 4 in it.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this doing here? What is it to do with it? There's, like, the end montage is just, like, the game of the year. Like,
I love how they do that.
I love orchestral montage.
Yeah, getting the smash theme.
I loved when they had that guy come out with a really deep voice to sing that song for Control or something. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we talked about that. So Sekiro won Game of the Year, which I
very big surprise. I the cynic in me said Death Stranding. The realist in me said Control.
It's weird how I didn't play it, but I'm also kind of glad it won.
Yeah, I mean the one I was secretly rooting for, but knew wouldn't win was Outer Worlds.
Actually, now that I'm playing more of that, I'll talk about that. That one is the one I would root for.
Yeah,
because I'm enjoying that.
But no, like coming off, and I'll talk about this too. Coming off Jedi Fallen Order, like I'm more interested in playing Sekiro now too.
Yeah, it's like the same way.
Unfortunately, it's like the only game not on sale as part of any Game Award sales.
Now they got to make that Game of the Year edition, right?
Yeah, right. But it's cool. It's fun to see something a little unexpected win it, but when it does, when you're like, yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Good job.
I don't know why. Because, like, I don't dislike Control, but I was, like, terrified Control was going to win. Like, I think IGN gave Control Game of the Year. Control was just such, like, an 80-something game to me. And I know the whole year was a bit like that. I mean, I think I said before, like, a lot of my favorite games so far this year were just not nominated. Specifically, Fire Emblem, Luigi's Mansion. Mm-hmm. So, it was like...
They won their genre categories.
Well, the cool... Fire Emblem won the
strategy game.
No, won Voter's Choice too, or Player's Choice.
Oh, that's right. They didn't. Did they say
that? Yeah, they did. You must have not been paying attention. I must have
grabbing a beer. Or something.
Yeah, so it won.
I knew it was going to. You could see the results in real time.
It's weird that like the game that won that wasn't even nominated for Game of the Year. It bothers me, but that it wasn't nominated. Well,
second place last I looked was Fallen Order.
Yeah, Fallen Order was in a weird position where like
it got screwed. Well, and Pokemon.
Well, Pokemon doesn't deserve anything. Pokemon's good, but it's fine.
It should have been in the family game category, maybe.
Yeah, and then it could lose to Luigi's Mansion. Like, at least Luigi's Mansion got a trophy for that.
Yeah, right?
Like, I don't even know what makes it a family game. It's just a very good game. But sure, if that's the one trophy we can give it, fine.
Well, I knew, you know, like, they always, like, half the categories are just, like, quick. Like, Jeff Keighley's, like, sitting on his little Death Star floaty thing, and he's like... All right, we're going to go through three awards real quick. And, like, one of those was best performance.
Yes.
And I was like, well, it's not Norman Reedus, because otherwise they'd be giving him a trophy on stage.
It's someone who cannot be there.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that's Mads Mikkelsen. So
right.
What do you know?
Mads Mikkelsen, do you want to come in and accept your video game trophy?
No.
No.
wasn't he there last year?
He might have been.
I think he was.
You're right. That was once. Probably that was enough for one. Like, probably was out of prep.
I got shit to do.
I couldn't get the stench of X body spray off of me for weeks.
But overall, the show is in a very good spot. The production's good. It's not cringy.
No.
What was the Gillette guy from a few years ago? Like, that's not a thing anymore.
I mean, I wasn't a giant fan of... the Apex Legends thing was okay.
I'll tell you what, Keighley acted it well.
The Muppets stole the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Reggie did great. Mm-hmm. You could tell they gave him a lot of time to just talk before his little award, but that's fine.
I was joking.
Even Ninja, I'm glad he didn't try to make a joke. He just kind of came out and gave an award.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, I think some people are still snarky about these things, and I'm a little snarky too, but I think it's the best we're going to get.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like other award shows are any better, really.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about these award shows. You have to, like, simultaneously, like, accept that they matter and don't matter in order to enjoy them. Because, mm-hmm. like, you can't, like, treat it like a joke. There's got to be some quote-unquote prestige to it, but also can't take it that seriously because it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And obviously, like... Whatever the process is, it can only ever be so fair anyway. So, again, you can't get too worked up about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's fine. It's fun. And the reveals and everything help quite a bit.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good show. Again, especially since this wasn't a year where it was, like, where there was, like, a Breath of the Wild or something that people
Last
were, like...
Last of Us 2.
Right.
Or, I'm not, I mean, God of War.
God of War. You know, a real big one or something, so...
Yeah.
Right. I think it went on.
Which, honestly, like I said, it made for a cool reveal of what actually won Game of the Year. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be.
I got no idea.
Yeah.
Hell if I know. I figured it wasn't going to be Smash Bros. Just because of the weirdness of it being, like, even as, like, I love Smash Bros., but even I'm like, I don't want to give that Game of the Year. It came out last year.
It won Fighting Game of the Year, so that's
well,
good.
It had, like...
Well, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat was something.
Good competition.
Jump Force, not so much.
No.
Jump Force in, like, that weird new Samurai Showdown game.
Which actually isn't bad.
Well, you're playing on Stadia. That's right. That's great. That's fantastic. All right. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of Shovel Knight King of Cards.
Yeah. Well, we were
playing Shovel Knight Showdown.
Okay. Let's talk about King of Cards first.
I mean, it's super fun. It's so you played the other two DLCs. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know how with Plague Knight, it kind of felt a bit more like you're playing just as a new character with some tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
And Spectre Knight was like, oh, it's like a whole new thing practically. This is like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a little more so. Like the level design, the structure is completely different where it's not just like, it's not the Mega Man, like here's one long level and a boss at the end. It's a bunch of smaller levels. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how like those levels would have like 5-6 checkpoints? Like there's one checkpoint in each of these levels. They're bite-sized, but there's more of them, which is really cool. So like the bosses are spread out a bit more. It's like the Mario 3 world map again, but the world map itself is bigger because there's more levels technically. And the base mechanic, it's almost a bit Wario-esque. Like you have a dash ability.
Okay.
But then when you hit something, you kind of go in this little torpedo spin that lifts you in the air. Then if you hit something again, you can keep bouncing off of things. Ooh. If you bounce off at least one thing, you can dash again. So it's very aerial movement based.
Comboing together,
trying to stick up. And just like in all of them, like you get these different weapons and abilities that kind of like can augment your movement or, you know, give you different options. But the movement just feels super fun and super good. It's not like Spectre Knight was like the really fast paced one. This one's like a bit more of like the precision one, mm-hmm. I guess, or thing. But the cool thing is you have this card game in there.
Yeah. So how does that factor in? I was never clear on this.
So there's this, it's interesting because it is kind of like Triple Triad, where it's this thing like you can talk to like the NPCs, you can play in this card game. And like in the game has kind of three acts, and in each of them you have to go to a tournament for the card game. Mm-hmm. It's not even clear if you really need to do this, but you can like go through a little tournament and beat everybody. And it's very Triple Triad rules in that, first off, it's like a grid based thing, and you have like the character cards. And when you beat a person, you get to take one of their cards. If they beat you, they take one of your cards. You get good rewards for beating them. You get gold and with crowns. And you use crowns is a pretty limited resource that you need to buy. Mm-hmm. The kind of like the new like abilities and stuff, but it, like the difference is it's like kind of about like, so it's like a grid. The grid is going to change. Sometimes it's like 2x3, 3x3, 4x4, and there's like three gems on it, and you're trying to get it so that you have the most gems before the grid is filled out, and the cards basically push the other cards around.
Okay,
so that's how it works. That's the basics of it, and it gets more complicated. You get better cards. You go. It works very well. The learning curve is perfect. It's super fun. I haven't tired of the card game yet, and it is just like this full-blown card game.
It's like a side thing in this new mode.
Right.
That's a side thing in this game.
But it's like, you know, I like when RPGs, I mean, it's a classic RPG thing, like KOTOR did it, Gwent did it, Final Fantasy VIII did it, and like it's neat to have that same exact thing here in this like 2D action side-scroller.
Nice.
And they complement each other well, because sometimes when you do like this really tricky platform section, you'll get a rare card. You can even buy like a random rare card sometimes. So
neat.
It works together super well. So yeah, I'm liking it a lot. It's super fun. We played a little bit of Showdown.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's super. It's like it's kind of Smash Bros. Meets Towerfall.
Yeah, it's got some DNA from both, but then it's doing its own thing. Which what I like about it is the kind of objective is to collect gems. You're getting points for the gems you have at the end, but you're also getting points for KOs.
Right, and like each person has 4 health points, and each character has like 2 attack moves, basically.
Mm, you have your projectile and a melee, right? Basically.
So it's like relatively simple. The levels themselves are really interesting. Some of them have like a lot of things going on. Some of them are very sparse. Yeah, but they're fun. And there's like an arcade mode where like each character has like a story.
I gotta try it.
Right? It's like playing, awesome. Yeah, so like playing an actual fighting game. Like they didn't skip out on this. I think there's like unlockable characters and things. It's a full-blown thing.
I know. It's amazing. Like, they just drop both of these. Like, here you go. Final stretch goals fulfilled.
So, like, now that it, like, all comes together as, like, one package of what Shovel Knight is, it's incredible. It's insane how good that is. I got to talk to Sean Velasco, the director of the game, and it was a really good interview on GamesBeat if you want to look at that. And we know that they're kind of, you know, it's nice to talk to some of these kind of smaller studios where, or like especially the guy in charge, because I just asked him like, so you guys are hiring for a 3D game? We saw he's not like super coy about it. He's like, yeah, we are. We just had a meeting about it. Yeah, something we want to do. You know, he's not.
Yeah.
Some people will be like, oh, we're not talking about that. Where's my handlers? You know.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I'm like, if those guys just try to do for like Mario 64 what they did with Shovel Knight for like Mega Man Castlevania stuff, like, oh yeah, all day long, give me that. So super fun. Finally was playing Outer Worlds.
How good is
totally
it?
Totally my jam.
How good is it?
It is entirely like the Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas style game, but like in a much less ugly world.
Yeah, isn't it nice to be playing not in that engine?
Yeah. It's nice to be playing that engine or even that world a little bit, to be honest. Like, the things I love about Fallout, it's not so much like how I'm on a garbage planet. You know what I mean?
Everything sucks.
Right. And I remember people always like would say sometimes like, there's like a lot of people. Why are they just, why is it still everything covered in garbage and dust? Clearly these people would have cleaned something by now. It's always a little ridiculous. Come on. So it's nice, like, it's dystopian still, but like, and not quite as like oppressive.
Yeah. Way.
But it's, you know, it's a bit funnier. The comma's so good. I like how instead of vats, you just have like the slow down thing, which gets, mm-hmm. that's like the same thing, but feels a little different. You have like a more like, you have like an actual party. And I know it's just, you have one extra companion, but I mean, you know, I'm one extra from normal AJ. So usually I have one. So you have like two companions with you at a time. So it feels more, it's almost like a bit more.
It's got a little Mass Effect in it.
Right. Exactly.
Especially like in the conversations.
Right. Right. And like there was before, you'd have like the one person with you, and sometimes you would kind of forget they're there most of the time. Even, well, you know,
oftentimes, especially in the Bethesda games, they can be a kind of a hindrance.
Right. Yeah.
It took damage. Like, they get in your way.
Like, get out of here. So I just love like having this kind of.
So how are you building your character out?
All, it's like basically all the kind of dialogue mm-hmm. traits and the stuff like that.
Two things I love. I love how the dialogue traits have a combat advantage, because
mm-hmm.
that's always like the thing that like made those not feel good. Is like, it's fun to talk your way out of stuff, but once a fight starts, you're like, well, I can't do anything.
Right, right.
And I also like how it once you hit 50.
Right.
They do split off, but you're just leveling up the chunk
mm-hmm.
until you get like so high, and then you're picking, okay, like I've got intimidate, persuade, and the other one like going, okay, now I gotta say, okay, now I'm just going persuade.
And there's like the milestones for them and whatnot. Yeah, it's like just the character building. It, you know, Fallout 4, like, I don't want to like crap in the game entirely, but I didn't like a lot of things that changed. Some of it was dumbing down the stats, and the other big one was dumbing down like the dialogue options. Like, so much of Fallout 4 was kind of pushing you more to shooting things more often. Mm-hmm. This one is so much more. Now you can just talk most of the time again.
It's great.
And I'm like,
all the writing's good.
Yeah, I basically want to play this game like a giant adventure game, kind of basically.
Kind of what it is.
With some shooting. So I did the first planet, and then I did everything on the space station, and now I'm kind of ready to go to another place. And yeah, it's great.
It's phenomenal.
Enjoying that a lot. Then I also beat Pokemon Sword and Shield.
You've been busy.
I know. Well, it's like end of the year. You got to race, get this all done. Sword and Shield it's good.
I tell you what, like especially like when you saw the trailers and you're like, oh, this is like the first console one. Like, this is the time they can really mix it up. It's very safe.
It is.
It's a very safe game.
Like, outside of the wild area, which is like where all the innovation went.
Right.
Basically.
Like, it almost makes you like wonder, like, is like the next game going to be like all wild area?
That's a weird thing too. Cause like, as cool as wild area is, you don't need to do any of that.
No.
It's not necessary at all. And when you do start doing it, you kind of like very quickly over level yourself for the regular game. Like, it's like these two parts don't really mesh with each other.
Yeah, I found that myself. Like I was like just kind of going through and doing it, and like I got into like my first fight after the wild area. I was like 4 or 5 levels ahead, and I was like, oh.
I mean, and it's like, I know Pokemon games are never too hard. Some of them I thought like maybe were harder than others. This one is a pretty easy cake
game. Yeah.
I mean, I had no trouble until I think the very last fight, and even then, like, I won.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I'd see it as just kind of a nice little bit of comfort food.
It is. It's weird, like, but there's definitely ways that it's dumbed down. That's like, there aren't really dungeons in this one.
No, like you're not going to, like, you know, Mount Moon.
Right. Which is weird, because, like, so much of the fun of the original Pokemon were, like, these big dungeons. And, like, if you explored enough and, like, went off the beaten path, you would find, like, Moltres or something, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing like that really here. Mm-hmm. Like, again, there aren't dungeons.
Yeah.
It's very linear. It's very, go here. Sometimes the game will just take you there, too.
Yeah.
It's like, even toward, like, there were so many points, especially toward the end, I'm like, oh, here's where, like, the big dungeon's gonna come. Nope, just a cutscene and fight a guy.
Yep.
There's one part where there wasn't even a cutscene, there were just, like, some still photos. I'm like, I guess they ran out of time. That's the thing that sucks, like, because I don't want to, like, go with this narrative, like, oh, Game Freaks rush this out or whatever. Because, you know, whatever, who cares? I certainly don't care about the deck set thing. But there is some truth that, like, some of it feels, like, a little, like, half-baked, I guess, or just, like, a little kind of, like, going through the motions, I guess. So yeah, I don't know. It was fine. It was fun to play. I still liked making my team and kind of getting through to the end and all that stuff. And I still thought the gym battles and like those big like Coliseum battle things were fun. Mm-hmm. I liked the sort of
I like that aesthetic
kind of football atmosphere to it was neat. But Something's still missing to me. Now, I say all this, and the game's selling a zillion copies. And,
yeah, so it turns out it doesn't matter.
Right, so, you know, I'm sure... You
know, they know what they're doing.
Right, they know what they're doing, but just, like... I guess, like, I still have a bit of that feeling, like, am I just, like, moving on from Pokemon a little bit? And again, I liked it. I still had fun.
You might be. But at its core, it's a kid's RPG. See,
but that's the thing. People say that, man. And look, and I'm not necessarily proud to say this, I consume a lot of things made for kids, you know? And a lot of it's still good and, like, fun and fine, or it could be challenged. Like Super Mario Odyssey, that's about the... I mean, it's a Mario game. That's just the same target audience. At no point I'm like, oh, yeah, they're... You know, making this so that the kids... And what's the average age of a book? It's got to be closer to, like, 8 to 12. It's not, like...
It's well, like, obviously, reading is a big part of the game.
Right, but that's, so like, that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it sometimes feels like the same level as, like one of the Disney Junior shows you put on for your kids in terms of, like, dialogues and the complexity of characters. I'm not saying that those things need to be, like, super high, but it feels like Disney Junior. It feels like targeted for people who can't read. I got so pissed off when there was this climactic thing happening in the end, and Hop is there. He still has, like, that default smile on his face. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he can't be mean ever, because mean is bad. It's like, I get it. But, God, like, just a hint of an edge somewhere. Just a small slice of, like, something somewhere, you know? Just a little bite at some place. I mean, even, like, the Team Rocket stand-in this time, they're just cheerleaders for a different character. They do not dislike you. They have
they're
nothing.
Not evil.
They're not even remotely evil.
They're just, like, kind of obnoxious.
Like, I can't wait for 5 years from now to be like, hey, what was the name of the team in Sun and Moon? And watch you panic. Hell, what the hell was the team in... Not Sun and Moon, I mean, in Sword and Steel. What was the team in Sun and Moon?
Oh, exactly.
I don't know. X and Y? Fuck me. Shit.
What was in Gold and Silver?
I think it was just Team Rocket still.
Was it? Okay.
And then there was like, because then in Ruby and Sapphire, like it was like Team Magma and like Team Water. It like depended on which plate one you had. You had the opposite. Then like they got weird. I don't know. But I don't know. But again, they're making a zillion dollars.
They're fine.
What do I know?
Yeah.
But I do think that maybe the wild area is the future for the franchise.
I hope so.
Which, you know, at least it can be something different. We'll see. I wonder if there's going to be even, like, the Ultra Sword and Shield kind of thing or not.
Well, let's see. Probably next year we'll get, you know, Let's Go Togepi. The Gold and Silver version of Let's Go.
Well,
and then
you think they're ever gonna do Diamond Pearl remakes? Because that was the thing for a bit. They did Gold Silver.
I don't know.
Is there a lot of love for Diamond Pearl? I can't remember. Was that the one with the hideouts?
I don't know. It all starts to blend together.
The one I liked was Black and White after that, so I kind of want the remakes to keep
going. Black and White's first one I didn't finish, so.
I like Black and White. So yeah, Pokemon's interesting. All right, AJ, what about you? What have you been up to?
I beat that Jedi Fallen Order.
Hey, I beat that game.
What a great game.
Yep.
What a great game. I tell you what.
Nice third act.
Third act's incredible. Funny, it's the most linear part of the game, right. So I don't know what that says about it. I love the characters in this game. They're very well drawn, in the figurative sense. I like the relationships. And just kind of how that all worked out. I thought the overall plot was really good.
So let's assume we're going to get a Jedi Fallen Order 2, which I think. What do you want to see?
I want to see the combat just tightened up a bit.
What do you mean?
So, like, for example, the last boss fight was the first time I felt like I was dying and it wasn't my fault.
I feel like the tells aren't maybe
it wasn't even
telling
that.
As they can be sometimes.
It wasn't even that. Like... Without, it's a slight mechanical spoiler, I guess. The final boss is like a shockwave attack where you have to jump over it.
Yeah.
And the safe bet is to do a double jump. And sometimes my double jump just wouldn't go off. I never had this problem the rest of the game. I don't know why it was happening here. It's like, that was annoying.
I would just like more boss fights in general.
Yeah, the boss fights were the best parts of the game.
And
for sure.
I was almost kind of mad because sometimes you would have like these random bounty hunter boss fights. And they were super fun.
It only happened to me twice.
Right. And like
the first one I died because I didn't know what was going on.
Right. And then, but it's not like the other ones, like they're just gone after you lose.
That's the whole point, because then you can't get your XP back.
Right, I know that, but I mean I'm playing on hard mode. Like, I'm not supposed to beat anything the first try, you know, in a way.
Right, right.
So it's kind of, that's why I'm like, no, I want to fight that guy again. That seems cool. I want to get him.
But boy, I just love this game. I thought it looks incredible.
Would you like it more if it was just one really, like, what Metroid Prime 1 style, like one really big interconnected map?
I don't know. I like the way how, I mean, obviously it's smoke and mirrors, but it did make everything feel connected. How you got in the ship, the jump to light speed, you got out of the ship. Like, it felt good. It felt connected.
So, you remember in the, like, one of the first trailers, that person, like, froze the laser bolt and then, like, force grabbed a stormtrooper and pushed him into it. Can you even do that?
Oh, I forgot about that. I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think force pool works remotely like that.
Well, you have a slowdown force power.
But it doesn't affect the laser.
I don't think so. I mean, you have force pool. Force pool becomes very OP, actually, in the late game, because you can just force pool a guy and you just insta-kill them with your saber. You could do it more than once.
I was thinking a lot about that day. I'm like, that's not even, because that was like the big wow moment for the first trailer.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. You're right.
Maybe you can do that, but I don't know. I certainly never needed to.
Yeah. You're right. I forgot all about that. Now, my favorite ability was where you kind of throw the double bladed saber around you. Mm-hmm. That's a fun one.
Maybe I'm alone in this, but I almost wish there were more puzzles. Like, one of my favorite sections of the game was, like, the ball puzzles in that first
tomb. Yeah, I like that first tomb a lot.
And, like, that's really, like, the only time you do a lot of puzzles in the game.
There's some in the second tomb.
Like, a little, not as much even there. Yeah. So, I would almost like more puzzles, but who knows?
Yeah, like, I think, I don't want to say, like, Assassin's Creed 1 to 2, because I think, like, this is, like, a better first effort than Assassin's Creed 1 was. But I do think, like, the sequel could be that much better.
I think so.
And, makes sense. I look forward to it.
So I got level 60 in World of Warcraft Classic.
You did it!
About 10 days of gameplay time.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, right? You thought you were ever going to do it.
Nope.
And then, I did Onyxia, which is, like, a big boss fight, which 20 to 40 people go get her just in her lair. Mm-hmm. So basically just you fight her. Then, like, the raid, the Molten Core with a bunch of bosses and stuff. And that's 40 people. So it's weird because, like, I've done raids, but it's been, like, ever since they turned to, like, 10 to 25
people.
Yeah,
so you've never done a 40 old school.
Yeah, and it's crazy how many people there are. But it's also, like, there aren't as many mechanics, partly because there's 40 people. Like, what are you going to make all these people do?
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of the mechanics are more, like, aggro-based and stuff. And I'm a healer, and it's just weird. Like, AoE healing is completely different. Because your spells specifically say, if you have an AoE spell, it says it targets people in the group that you target. Well, group's only 5 people.
Right.
Like, you can't do more than that. So it's, a lot of times it's, like, confusing to know who's in what group and if that's even worth it. So it's really much more kind of just the whack-a-mole healing of just, like, one by one giving a person heal. Which, you know, it's fun. It's so interesting. Part of me is like, maybe it was a bit more dynamic when I was doing this on my monk in the newer game.
Right.
But it was fun. I got some nice loot. It was cool to finally do those things.
Yeah, just do it.
Because, like I said, I killed Ragnaros, you know? Yeah, like, that means something.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this. Because I was thinking about it. When we do our pre-orders for Shadowlands, what class do you think you would boost to 120? Or 50 or whatever it'll be by then?
Well, there's a good, so I really like my Restoration Shaman, and I like that he's a Dark Iron Dwarf, but, like, I can just never play Alliance because all these people usually end up just playing on Horde. Now, if some of those people are just straight up, like, we're playing Classic, we don't care about Modern, maybe I'll just do it on Alliance finally. I have a friend who, like, offered to let me enter her Alliance skill, so maybe I'll just do that. If not, though, and I might just get a Volpiri and they can be shamans, right?
Yes.
I'll probably just boost them to a shaman, so I have a shaman on the Horde side if I want to do restoration there. If not that, then maybe a paladin.
I think I'd do priest. I think I want to play a disc priest, but I don't want to level one, if that makes sense.
No, I understand. It's a lot. I mean, what the heck? I mean, it would definitely be a healer for me. At this point, I just like healing so much more than the other things. But I also have a pretty good collection of, like, max level characters now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I have a rogue, I have a mage, I was out there.
In retail, it's not that hard, and it seems like it's probably going to get even easier
with the
new one. I say our thing, too. When the change happens, I might level some kind of a character for fun anyways.
Right.
So maybe I'll just do it in, when I leveled my last shaman, it was doing elemental, so maybe this time I'll do an enhancement one, see what that's like. We'll see. But I don't know. Maybe I'll just be playing more classic. Although, like, I'm already kind of in this mindset of, like, I'll go do, like, these raids and stuff, like, you know, once a week. I'm not going to be playing a ton more class. Like, the PvP stuff came out, like, the Battlegrounds are out. And, like, if you really want, like, good PvP gear, like, you got to play, like, hours of Battlegrounds every day.
Yeah, because it's more of a, and it's about stats accumulated.
And even as, like, loot was dropping one quarter, like, okay, only rolling this if you're going to actually play PvP. And I was just like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play it enough. And that's my thing, too, like, and I basically say, look, if there's somebody who's, like, playing this a lot, who's a priest and needs this item more than me, like, yeah, let them have it. I'm really not that concerned about the loot. If they already have the thing that's good, I'll take it. But, like, you know, I'm not sure how much longer I'm in for the ride here. I definitely want to do the next raid, just because it's the Nefarian raid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked that Hearthstone adventure. So I want to do that one. But we'll see. And I'll be curious to see, like, I'm kind of curious to see, like, what's, like, going to happen after they get through Naxxramas, and it's, like, what's the future of this stuff look like? Plus, part of it, too, I mean, there's a little bit of, like, you know, these, how to put this delicately. It, you know, some of the stereotypes about WoW guilds are true.
I was like, where's he going with
this? And you know exactly what I mean.
I know exactly
what you mean. And it's like, you know, sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. You're like, I could be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for a bit, like, especially because, like, a lot of people, like, kind of helped me get the 60 at the end. Like, I'm not going to, like, peace out right away.
Yeah, right.
But there is a part of me that's already, like, I thought the leveling was really cool and definitely better than it is in retail WoW. Endgame, I'm not super convinced on just yet. There's certain things I like about it more, especially the loot. Like, the loot system is just simpler and better than the mess of a loot system that retail WoW is, with all the, like, essences and the different, like, you know, it's dumb. But, I mean, I'm not going to say I had more fun doing Molten Core than I did doing Battle for Dazar'a Lore, which was that raid that I absolutely loved.
Right.
Which was, like, rich with mechanics and some fun
story
lore
and stuff.
Yeah, and, like, these really cool set pieces. And this was basically, you know, Zerging stuff.
Yeah.
Even the bosses, really. Like, you know, there'd be some... And really, like, when things were intense, it was just a matter of, like, people taking damage while we try to heal. It wasn't, like, some intense mechanic going on. And sometimes Retail Classic goes way too far with mechanics. Like, I didn't like the new raid, especially the final boss in it, the Sheriff fight, because there's just so many mechanics, and it's, like, a 15-minute-long fight, and there's, like, 15 things happening, and none of them really have anything to do with each other, but don't mess up. And
yeah, because it's going,
like,
to be a wife. And
like, what is this? Like, So, yeah, interesting. That's the thing. Like, part of me is like, oh, I beat Ragnaros. I beat the game.
Yeah. I won the World of Warcraft.
I guess, so keeping that going, the new expansion for Hearthstone launched.
Yeah. So,
Descent of Dragons. I mean, it's so weird because, I mean, not that it doesn't feel like an event anymore, but this is like, what, the 12th expansion for this game?
It's just now? Part of the game now.
It's like, yeah, here's the new set.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the cards I get. Like, and I know, and what was me, I kind of get set, like, the bundle of cards, so I had, like, 100 packs to open. It used to be really fun when, like, I bought the 50 card packs. Like, what am I going to get? Like, opening 100 card packs is almost like a job.
I opened 183 card packs.
Jesus Christ.
And, yeah, it was fun.
Probably got a lot of dust.
Oh, I got a lot of dust. Yeah, you always got to wait for that. The one thing I did craft was the Ankar.
Oh, the Pirate Warrior.
Yeah, the Pirate
Warrior.
That
seems good.
Yeah, Pirate Warrior is good. That was the only card I didn't have for it, so I was like, I'll craft
it. Well, one thing I like, it's funny because, like, one of the big problems of Hearthstone used to be aggressive decks, and then, like, the last meta was actually so control-based, I kind of missed aggressive decks.
Yeah. So they're coming back a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the deck I'm playing right now, and who knows how good it actually is, but I've been doing okay with it, is it's called Paladin, because they made these two cards that have these bonus effects if your deck only has Paladin cards in, so no neutrals. It's an aggressive deck, and it's super fun, and I play Paladin a lot, so...
The funny thing is, the two classes I probably got the least cards for are Paladin and Mage.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have no Mage cards. I got one of the Paladin.
You know how, like, there's always that one card you get a million of? For me, it was, like, that Bronze Dragonflight Explorer. Got a zillion of
those. What did I say mine was? Awakening or something like that? Yeah.
Something like that. But it's interesting. There already seem to be some cards that seem, like, a little troublesome. There's that one.
Yeah, it's the new Zilliax. Corruptor.
Yes, you know exactly. It's a 4/5, and it turns
5/4
and it turns with rush, and turns any other of your friendly cards into a 5/4 Thrush.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of tokens out
well,
there.
Well, yeah, because, well, lackeys are still
there's
really
lackeys,
good.
There's lackeys. Yeah, there's a million lackeys and a lot of cards that just make 1/1s, hero powers that make a 1/1 or 0/2 or whatever. So it's like...
Yeah, you're basically, for 5 mana, getting 10/8 on the board.
Wait, with Rush?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know how they printed that.
Yeah.
That definitely needs
it's just,
to
it's
be
just,
more
it's
expensive.
It's just an auto-include in every deck.
Except for Paladin.
Yes.
It doesn't work.
Yes.
So...
But yeah, so the decks, I've been playing the Power Warrior. I actually didn't look this one up. I made it myself. It's a Quest Galakrond Shaman.
I didn't mess around with Galakrond yet.
So this one's fun.
I know that. Well, Quest the Shaman is supposed to be the most powerful that people say.
Yeah, well, Shaman's great because he has an invoke card that is an invoke twice on the battle cry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you complete your quest, you could get your fully upgraded Galakrond in one turn.
Right.
You know?
That's pretty good.
And he's only a 7 cost, so you can do the double battle cry on him. When he's fully upgraded, which isn't hard to do, it's summon 2 8/8 elementals with Rush. You get 4 of them, plus you get your 5/2 weapon. So you basically win the game unless they have an answer for that after you play it.
Unless you get zerged by an aggro deck like mine before you even get there.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it seems interesting so far. Again,
I got to wait for the meta to settle.
Right, well, I mean, look, I didn't play a ton of Saviors of Old Doom. I don't think I'm going to be playing a ton of this.
Mm-hmm. So, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but so Battlegrounds had its big patch as well.
Mm-hmm.
It reintroduced some new heroes who were gone, took some out. Murlocs got, like, literally one card that made them so much more viable. Well, it's the Gargoyle or whatever.
Yeah, well, because it bridges them from the early game to the late game.
Mm-hmm. It's a 5 cost. It gives a buff on Battlecry and Death Rattle.
Right. So, yeah, it's just good all around.
But so, and that's fine. But then now the strategy is just stay alive with Murlocs, get the Gentle Megasaur. Especially if you have Bran, because you get to do it twice. So most of the time, if you get to the end game, you're going up against a guy who's got a row of Murlocs with Poison and Divine Shield.
Right. And if you have Poison, like...
You can't do anything.
Something's got to either happen with Megasaur or with Poison. Part of me is like, does Poison need to be in the game? The only thing, the reason it might is because of that one card, like that one demon that can have, like 3 attack and like 200 health under the right circumstances.
That's the only thing.
But
you can
like,
do that.
I feel like poison should be very hard to get, and like
it's easy to get.
But yeah.
Like I think it's fine to have some poison minions, like Myxna. But I don't.
Myxna's fine.
But it's too easy to put poison onto other things.
Right. Like maybe Toxphene needs to be more expensive
or gone.
And Megasaur needs to get rid of lose poison or maybe just be gone.
Just be gone
too.
As well.
So. Yeah, because I almost wish that stats mattered a bit more.
Yeah, and the thing is, for, like, demons, stats is the play.
Well, stats in those cards, that card that just, like, deals 3 or whatever.
Yeah, but it's like, you can't rely on that. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you get that 1-drop 1/1 who buffs every time you play a demon, you get it to 50-50, it doesn't matter. A 1-2 Murloc with Divine Shield and Wind Fury and Poisonous is going to hit you, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think Megasaur just needs to go. Like, maybe there could be some other different kind of
There needs to be a new Tier 6 Murloc or Boon.
But I don't know. Something different. But, yeah, they'll figure it out.
I still enjoy it. I play it a lot.
We were playing it today. I had a big losing streak, then I finally like got first place on one we did. That's fine.
So last thing I wanted to talk about, I've been playing Darksiders Genesis.
Oh, Darksiders Diablo.
And no. See, here's the thing. This is where they're not.
When I played this game,
I do not think it's like Diablo at all.
At all.
Aside from camera angle.
Well,
if you drop the camera angle, it's just Darksiders.
Yeah.
It plays exactly the same.
I never played Darksiders.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, when you're playing as War, who's the character from the first game, it's the exact same moveset. Like, it's the same gameplay. They just move the camera up.
Mm.
When you're playing a Strife, the new guy, he's got guns. It's got a little bit more of, like, a kind of twin-stick shooter feel to it.
Right, well, I was playing
but it's
too,
still not Diablo. Like, you know, you're not, there's no loot.
Right.
You know, there's some skills, like he has different ammo that changes some abilities, but it's not, like, you know, entirely new skills and skill trees and stuff like that. But it's very good. It's very well written, of all things. Hmm. The dialogue between the two of them, a lot of people have likened it to, like, Star-Lord and Drax.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of works. But it should be noted, I did buy this on Stadia. even though it was $10 more expensive, which is super dumb. What happened was I was like on the fence about it. Like I was all ready to get it. Like I was like gonna buy it as soon as it went live. And then I found out it was like more expensive, and I stopped. I said, okay, well I could save the $10 and get it on PC. But do I want it on PC? Like the appeal was like getting it on Stadia to have a Stadia game, right? So I was traveling for work last week, and I ended up in a Starbucks doing some work, and I was like, I was waiting for people to get back to me on a spreadsheet, and like it was gonna take, knowing my coworkers, like 2 hours. So I'm just sitting in the Starbucks, and the Wi-Fi is pretty good. I'm like, oh fuck it, I have my 8-bit Duke controller in my bag. I'm like, all right, let's get Darksiders. And here's the cool thing: where Stadia does work, it's like, okay, click buy the game, click play. Hey, look, I'm playing the game. Yeah. And in the Starbucks, it worked fine. I just started playing Darksiders Genesis, and it was great. You know, it still doesn't run as well as it does on any platform.
God.
Like, today, Digital Foundry had their in-depth analysis of Metro Exodus, and they're like, yeah, it's like kind of 4K and, you know, 30 frames per second, but it doesn't run as well as it does on Xbox One X. It's like, how is that possible?
Right.
Like, how is that possible? You know, it's again... If it can't run as well as it does on One X, how are they going to compete with Series X and PS5 in less than a year?
With Google Stadia Series S.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you want to go to a delusional subreddit? Go to the Stadia subreddit. Yeah. They are hilarious.
That's what I've heard.
You can't say anything bad about Stadia. They have an answer for everything.
You bet they do.
I mean, you want to talk about fanboys. However many number of people who subscribe to that sub, subtract one, because that's me. And that, I think, is everyone who owns a Pixel phone. Because that's all they talk about. It's like, it's so great to go from my phone to my TV. And I was like, who the fuck owns a Pixel?
They do.
Apparently, they're all there.
They're all Google bots. I mean, if any company could afford bots to populate a fake subreddit for their product, make it look good.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
It's just all those like propeller wearing losers, like interns, right? That's what they do.
That's funny.
They're at a call center, but they're on a subreddit.
They're on subreddit talking about how you know, it'll get better with time. Mm. And I can't even tell that it's not 4K.
I was laughing at that Marvel Ultimate Alliance trailer that just had slowdown in the trailer.
I know. I told Chris, I said the excitement they gave me, the announcement that would get me excited for that game was to say it's coming to Xbox.
Jeez.
So I can play with a steady frame rate.
No.
I don't care about 4K that much.
No, gosh, no. All right. Is that it, Ashka?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Star Wars is next week.
It's happening. It's happening.
We still going home.
Come on, R2. I hate myself, but I had to do it. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to look at all your podcast stores. Leave us a review. Don't forget to check out 90s Disney. And
celebrate the holidays and learn about Muppet Christmas Carol.
Right, that's right. So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye. Time is it? Wow, it's almost one.
Yeah, it's a long show.